للمرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. All thanks and all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our maker, Allah our creator, Allah our sustainer, Allah our Rabb, our Khalik, our Malik, Allah all powerful, Allah omniscient, Allah omnipotent, Allah omnipresent, Allah, Allah who is our creator, Allah who is our all-powerful maker. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed life for mankind on planet earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps us alive, and when Allah decides, Allah will take us away, Allah will take this life away, and Allah will cause death to come about, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect man for the day of judgment, wherein a reckoning will be held, and after the resurrection, the reckoning of Qiyamah, the day of Qiyamah will take place, and Allah will then decree who goes to Jannah and who goes to Jahannam, who goes to heaven and who goes to hell, who goes to paradise and who goes into the punishment of hell. Those are the decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are doing after Salatul Maghrib with Jama'ah, life after death. That is the series we are engaged in. At the moment we are busy with the first chapter in life after death, which is concerned with, which deals with the subject matter of the verses of the Quran Majeed that deal with the Islamic perspective on death. We're looking at what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach us, inform us, instruct us about death. Then we will look at life after death. But let us understand from the Quran Majeed, from the verses of the Quran Majeed, what does Allah tell us and inform us about death. We're going on to the next ayat of the Quran Majeed, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu yatawaffa. Allahu yatawaffa al-anfusa hina mawtiha, wallati lam tamut fi manamiha, fayumsiku allati qada alayha al-mawta, wa yursilu al-ukhra ila ajalin musamma. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. صدق الله العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah withdraws the souls of human beings at the time of their death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even Malak al-Maut acts under the instruct command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, it is Allah. Allah withdraws the souls of human beings at the time of their death, and also during their sleep. Allah withdraws the soul from the body of human beings at the time of their deaths, and also during their sleep, the sleep of those who do not die. Allah then withholds the souls of those upon whom death has been ordained and decreed, and Allah releases the other souls until the appointed term. In that surely are signs for a people who reflect. Inna fi dhalika la ayatin li qawmi yatafakkaroon. O mankind, O humans, O Muslimin, understand this. That means to say, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exercises complete power over human beings. Allah has the right, Allah commands, Allah decrees how long you will live in this dunya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you go to sleep, you sleep so tight, so fast you sleep, you're not aware of what's going on around you. That is, the soul leaves the body, in a sense, the soul leaves the body, and a minor death takes place. That is what in the hadith has been described, death, sleep is a minor death. But if your time is up, life will not come back into you, life will not flow back into your body, and you are going to die. So certain people, when they go to sleep, die. When it is so, decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for others, most others, the soul goes back into the body, the soul comes alive, and that happens when we awaken from our deep sleep, from our slumber. it is a state of minor death or unconsciousness. We become unconscious of the reality of our surroundings. People talk to us, but we are so fast asleep we do not even hear them. So the senses of the human body, sight, hearing, taste, awareness, all that is lost in sleep. And therefore, it is a form of minor death or unconsciousness from the reality of life. That is what we are told here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah then withholds the souls of those for whom death has been decreed, but Allah releases the souls of the people who are not supposed to die, for whom Allah has not planned and decreed death. Then Allah says, Inna fi zalika, therein la ayatil liqawmi yatafakkaroon. O mankind, think carefully, think realistically. That who holds power over life and death? If sleep is a minor form of death, that means to say, who exercises power over you as a human being? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Zumar, Surah number 39, Ayat number 42. Such is the operation of death. Sleep is a form of death, for it makes one oblivious of everything around him or her. The soul returns to the body by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when death has not been set for it. Otherwise, which human can prevent death? Yet knowing this to be the fact, men still go on transgressing and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and breaking with impunity the laws and rules of the Sharia. The souls of mankind, upon which men are dependent for continuous functioning, is created by and belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That soul is owned by, made by, planned by, designed by, held by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for its functioning. Yet men know this, and yet they flagrantly deny and disobey their maker, their creator, their life giver, Allah. Their punishment will be a grievous one. Next ayat of the Quran Majid is the following. With regard to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَيُرْسِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَفَزَةً حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ تَوَفَّتْهُ رُسُلُنَا وَهُمْ لَا يُفَرِّتُونَ ثُمَّ رُدُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ مَوْلَاهُمُ الْحَقِّ أَلَا لَهُ الْحُكُمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah is almighty, Allah is supreme over his servants, over his slaves. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ. Allah holds all power over his servants, over his slaves. وَيُرْسِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَفَزَةً. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah sends his guardians, angels, to tend to you, to look after you, to protect you, to safeguard you, so that as long as Allah decrees you must live, you will continue to live. Nobody can kill you before your time. Nobody can murder you before your time. Nobody can destroy you before your time. Nobody can take the life away before your time. You will only go on your due time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the malaikas are there who safeguard you and who protect you until the time of your departure, until the time of your death. And Allah says, I am almighty. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ. And I send my angels to tend to you until when death comes to any one of you. And then says Allah, then our messengers, malaikas, malakal maut and company, then our malaikas, our angels, our messengers, the angels extract your soul when your time is up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, our angels extract your soul without failure, without neglect. You can do absolutely nothing about to prevent them, Malik al-Maut and his assistants. You can do absolutely nothing to prevent them taking out your soul and causing your deaths. حتى إذا جاء أحدكم الموت توفته رسلنا وهم لا يفرطون. Then our angels will come and get your soul, and they will get it without failure. They will extract it without failure. Then their souls are returned to Allah. Subhanallah. Summaruddu ilallahi mawlahumul haq. And who is that Allah? Their true master. The master of the angels, and your master also. Then your souls will be returned to Allah, their true master. Master of you, master of the slaves, master of the angels, master of the universe, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah lahul hukum. Judgment belongs to Allah. Bear that in mind, O mankind, O Muslimin. Judgment belongs to Allah. Allah decrees. Allah decides. Allah is the judge. And there is no assistance for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have recited to you Surah An'am, 6 surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 61 and 62, wherein we are informed also a further teaching about death. The word qahir, which is used here, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ. The word qahir means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolutely in command and in control of all the affairs of his entire creation, not only man, but his entire creation, in a way that does not allow for any other to take control. That is how Allah, nobody else can take control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. This means that all are subservient to and in the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, willingly or unwillingly, and are dependent upon the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very important point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very known to us that we are totally dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have no right, we can do nothing to prevent death, to prolong death, to prevent death, to contain death, we have no say whatsoever. Only Allah has. And the angels who come to extract the soul from the body, even the angels have no say. They simply have to obey Allah's command. Your time is up, your time is up. You cannot delay, you cannot be prolonged at all whatsoever. And also it can be preceded. In other words, you can't make it earlier, a day or two, or three or four, or a week or a month. No, you go on your time. Nobody knows when it will come. What would men do if air, water, and sustenance risk were taken away? Would the deniers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala survive in this world? They are granted the opportunity throughout their lifetime to recant and to repent until the inevitable death comes along. You wonder sometimes, the kuffar and mushrikeen, the disbelievers, the non-Muslimin, why are they allowed to live? Why doesn't Allah take their lives away? Because they're wasting their time. They don't want to believe in one Allah. They don't want to accept the tawheed of Allah. They do not want to accept the risalat of Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah. They do not want to believe in akhirat. They're up to mischief all the time. Reason you want to know? Well, the reason is here. The reason is each human being has a time span, a lifespan in this dunya. Allah has given him or her that lifespan in the dunya so that if realization comes at some time, then that disbeliever has the potential for acceptance of Tawheed, Risalat and Akhirat, of Deen of Islam, of becoming a true obedient slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a true bearer of and carrier of and practicer of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallam, and a true believer in the Akhirat. Because of that, and yes, there is proof, millions of people who were born non-Muslim at some stage of their life, realization comes in and acceptance of the Deen of Islam comes. We in Cape Town particularly know this, how true it is. Of how many thousands of people have accepted Islam, especially from the Christian communities. How many have accepted and embraced Islam and become excellent Muslims? So I am saying to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them a lifespan. And that span you will not go before then. And during that lifespan, a realization at some stage is supposed to come to you. And when that hidayat comes to you and they accept Deen of Islam, it is as a result of the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given you a certain number of years that you must live in this world. Would the deniers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala survive if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to take away water and food from us? Air, wind, water, earth, fire, if Allah takes everything away, can we survive? No, we cannot survive. And yet they know this. And they know they cannot survive death as well, that death is going to come. Do they prepare for that death? Very few do. They are granted the opportunity throughout their lifetime to recant and to repent until the inevitable death comes along. Allah's messengers, the malaikas of death, under the supervision of Malak al-Maut, come along to extract and collect the soul from the human body without failure and without neglect. They do their duty and none can cause them to fail in carrying out the bidding of Allah, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Allah ta'ala is the supreme master and ruler of the universe. Next ayat coming up. We are dealing very, very briefly and shortly with those verses of the Quran that deal with the subject of death, so that we can understand in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what is death. Before doing life after death, let's understand in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what is the meaning of death from the Quran Majid, the Kalamullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الظَّالِمُونَ فِي غَمَرَاتِ الْمَوْتِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَاسِطُوا أَيْدِيهِمْ أَخْرِجُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ الْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ عَذَابَ الْهُونِ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ وَكُنْتُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِهِ تَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. If you could only see, O man, if you could only see the unjust, unfaithful ones, when they are in the pains and in the agonies and in the pangs of death. O Muslimin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, picture, imagine, bring to your mind, focus. If you could only see the unjust people, the unfaithful people, the non-believing people, when they are in the pains of death, in the agony of death, in the pangs of death, with the malaikas of death, with the angels of death, stretching out their arms to receive their souls, putting their hands in, stretching their arms and going in to take the soul out, stretching out their arms, Allahu Akbar, basitu Aidihim, the soul is there inside the body. When Malak al-Maut comes along, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's word, fi ghamaratil maut wal malaikatu basitu aidihim, that is an object you and I never see it. No human being has ever seen it. The malaikas put their arms in. Oh, that means they see it. Oh yes, they see the soul. And they reach out, they put their hands in, and now they're going to draw it out. They're made of nur, no? Angels are made of nur, which means they're not solid, but they're not liquid. And they can go in. A wall cannot prevent them from entering. Nothing can, iron cannot prevent them. what is the human body? Nothing in comparison. So they put their hands in and they're going to grab it and pull it out. They will catch hold of that ruh and they're going to pull it. Where is the pangs? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala walau tara. Is it zalimuna? The zalimin, the unjust, wicked people of the world, non-believing people of the world. Walau tara, O Muslim, if you could see, O man, if you could see how the soul of the unjust, wicked, impious, corrupt, immoral people, unbelieving, how Malak al-Maut and those, the company of Malak al-Maut that come, how they draw out the ruh from the body of the unjust, cruel, wicked people. Fi ghamaratil mawti. Oh, it's agonizing, painful. Wal malaikatu basitu aydihim. They put their hands in and they're going to pull it out. Akhriju anfusakum. What do? To receive their souls. Saying, Akhriju anfusakum, come out, get out of the soul. Akhriju, come on, we need you, come out, don't hide in there. The soul, what do we learn from this? The way I'm saying it, which means the soul of the wicked, cruel, unjust people doesn't want to come out. Doesn't want to come out. So they put their arms in. You see, that of a mu'min who is expectant, he knows, he believes in Allah and the Rasul. He's been a pious man or pious woman. They yield. They say, Ruh, go. Go, welcome. Malak al-Maut is here, go. So the Ruh immediately moves on, moves out from its place and goes to be received by the angels. But what about the Kufar al-Mushrikeen? What about the Munafiqeen? Oh, they don't want to. They don't want to yield their soul because they now realize. What do they realize? Time is up. Trapped, we are caught. That realization is the moment they see Malak al-Maut. They withdraw, they immediately pull back out of fear. Filled with fear, shock. At the same time, shame, disgrace. Remember the previous ayat that I had recited to you? Wherein it says, when they see Malak al-Maut, what happens to them? They get the shock of their life. So here it is. And the malaikas tell them, come out, soul, yield your soul, O kafir, O mushrik, O munafik, come on, you wicked, unjust, unbelieving person, you sinner, you transgressor, come on, give us your soul. And it goes in and they're going to dig it out with claws, with claws. Pincers. So what is a pincer? Pincer is like nails. They will draw it up like the rake. They will clutch it and pull out that soul. Hadiths are still coming. The hadith on this is coming. We're dealing with the Quran now at the moment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the malaikas will put in of who? Of the unjust, wicked, cruel tyrants. Don't want to obey Allah and the Rasul of Allah. Didn't want to obey Allah. Don't want to accept Tawheed. They go and they worship statues, images, carvings, idols. What happens to them? Here it is. Commit sin, evil, don't want to listen, don't want to hear. When they are told about La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, something about deen of Islam, Sharia of Islam, they mock, they turn away, they turn on the hills and walk away, say, no, Islam is not for us. Then this is haram, they don't want to listen that this is haram. Oh, Muslim and non-Muslim, anyone can be a sinner and an unjust and a transgressor. Oh, where are the, again I repeat, who are the munafiqeen? Munafiqeen are not kuffar and mushrikeen. Munafiqeen are from the Muslim fold. They are from the Ummah. They also, they'll get a shock. They say, oh, my word, Ya Allah, please, please Allah, give us a little bit of time. Oh, precious time, oh Allah, a little bit. Give us a little, a couple of days. we will go and reform. We'll give a lot of sadaqah, and we'll give all our zakat, and we'll go and make our hajj, and five times salah, we'll make a lot of tawbah, a lot of istighfar. Oh Allah, give us a chance. Here it is. Zalimeen, oh unjust, cruel, tyrant, tyrannical, sinners, wrongdoers, transgressors, your time is come now. If your soul is going to try and hide inside, they're going to put their hands in like claws, and they're going to stretch it and pull it out. They will tear your soul into pieces, doesn't matter, but it will come out of there. They will get it. And what do they say? Here's the words, Akhriju anfusakum, get out of there, O soul, come out of there. Akhriju anfusakum. And then what do they say? Al yawma tujzawna azab al huni bima kuntum taquluna ala Allahi ghayr al haq. Yield up your souls, O body, yield up your souls, O kafir. Come on, give us, O polytheist, O mushrik, give up your soul, yield it up. This day of death you shall suffer a humiliating punishment. Today you're going to get your punishment because of that which you spoke falsely about Allah, and also because you turned away from the signs of Allah with arrogance and with disdain. When the realization came to you, O kafir, when you realized Islam is the true deen, O kafir, when you heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the true messenger of Allah, what did you do? You turned away from Islam? Muslimin, we need to propagate our deen. We need to broadcast our deen. We need to make our deen popular and well known to the kuffar and mushrikeen. We have a mission. We are preachers. We need to propagate our deen to all of mankind. We do not know who will embrace the deen as a result of our inviting people and giving people da'wat to embrace Islam. But we must be first good practicing Muslimin. Here it is. This is what happens at the moment of death. Let me translate it again and then we proceed. I am reading out to you one ayat of the Quran Majid, taken from Surah Al-Am, 6th Surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 93, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Muslimin, O reciters, O Muslimin, if you could only see the unjust, unfaithful ones when they are in the pains of death, with the angels of death stretching out their arms to receive their souls, saying, yield up your souls, this day of death you shall suffer a shameful punishment, a humiliating punishment, because of that which you spoke falsely about Allah, and also because you turned away from the signs of Allah, and you turned away with arrogance, with pride, with disdain. The true believers will face an excellent and peaceful death. What about the mu'mineen, the muslimin? The true believers, mu'mineen, muslimin, will face an excellent and peaceful death, and even the agony pangs of death will not remove their inner peace. The unjust, sinful and evil people, however, shall experience the agonizing trauma, shock and pains of death in a humiliating state, because they will be threatened and beaten by the angels of death. Or they will be beaten, or they will be given a hiding in those moments, in order to remove the soul which hides within the body and refuses to leave. They don't want the soul to get out because they know it's twitched. This is a terrible chastisement, as the angels of death stretch their arms to reach within the body of the dying man to wrestle with his soul in a torturous, terrible and unbearable way, as they draw the soul out from the body. They speak to the soul violently and threateningly, and he or she is in a state of complete helplessness, telling them of their rejection of the Tawheed. The angels of death tell them, when you heard La ilaha illallah, you must worship only one Allah, what did you do? You became an enemy of Allah. The malaikas, as they draw out the soul, they're talking to the person, he or she, and you are in complete helplessness. They tell them of their rejection of the Risalat of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They tell them of their disavowal of the Quran, the Sunnah, and the Sharia of Islam. Their rebellion against the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their sinful and evil ways, as well as their love for the material things, the gains and the pleasures of the dunya, and their cruelty towards their fellow humans and their disregard for the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their surroundings, all of these in the seconds of death will be made known to them as they are thrashed and whipped for their iniquities and their sins in the moments before dying. And warnings meted out to the transgressors, there will be no mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shown to them. No mercy. Time of mercy is gone. Time when you had opportunity for forgiveness, when you were healthy and well, you drowned yourself in greed, in the dunya, in the pleasures of the flesh, in immorality, in corruption, in sin, in wrongdoing, in haram. Your time is up. O munafiqeen, you will stand no chance. At that time, the malaikas, you will hear in the hadith that we have the sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how these malaikas, what they do with you, they will beat you into a pulp. Oh, they will tear you into pieces as they tear you. Nothing you can do. You're helpless. You try and hold the soul. You don't want to release the soul. They will tear it out of your body. Like a rake, they will tear it out like nails. Hundreds of nails they will. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, like a cloth, you know, you took nails and you tear the cloth with the nails. That's how they will take it out. The pain will be excruciating. Oh, but they will get that ruh out of you. On time. Not a second, not a split second earlier, not a split second later. That was from Surah Nam, 6th Surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 93. Next ayat of the Quran Majid, and so we go on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majid with regard to that, وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ حَتَّى إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتُ قَالَ إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنَ وَلَلَّذِينَ يَمُوتُونَ وَهُمْ كُفَّارٌ أولئك أعتدنا لهم عذابا أليما. الله أكبر. الله سبحانه. Forgiveness is not for those who continue to commit evil acts in this world in their lifetime. There's no forgiveness at the time of death. No more pardon, no more repentance, no more forgiveness. When death is staring you in Malakul, now all of a sudden you want to ask Allah, Allah forgive me, Allah make tawbah, Allah sifa, Allah forgive me. Allah, I'm sorry for what I did, all the sins I made, oh Allah forgive me. Allah, when I was told this is haram, this is wrong, this is sinful, I did not listen. I was too arrogant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Forgiveness is not for those who continue to commit evil and sinful acts. And then when death presents itself before any of them and they see the malaikas of death descending on them, what do they say? He says, here's the words of Allah, إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنَ. Oh Allah, at this moment I ask you, Allah, make me maaf, Allah. I seek your forgiveness. I'm making tawbah. Here are the words of Allah, قَالَ. And the dying person says, when he sees Malak al-Maut, these are the words recorded in the Quran, إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنَ. At this moment, oh Allah, I ask you, forgive me. Oh, you are the great forgiver, O Allah. All his lifetime, there was no time to seek forgiveness. Now all of a sudden, when he sees Malak al-Maut, he is in such a state of shock. Allah, forgive me. Allah, you said, you promised you accept forgiveness. I'm asking you for forgiveness now. Malak al-Maut is waiting. He wants to take out the ruh. He realizes, she realizes. Time up. Allah, forgive me. Here are the words. Allah, إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنَ. At this moment, oh Allah, I'm asking you forgiveness. I've realized the truth. I know I'm coming to you. I know there's a record. I know there's judgment. I know there's a resurrection. I know I have done wrong. But Allah, you can forgive me. Is there still life in me? Oh, there's still life in me. Allah, forgive me now. Allah, forgive me quickly. إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنَ. In the words are, he says, I do repent now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him reply. وَلَلَّذِينَ يَمُوتُونَ وَهُمْ كُفَّارٌ. Nor is it mercy and forgiveness. Oh no, there is no mercy and forgiveness for those who die as disbelievers. Allah says, sorry. Sorry, too late. The door of forgiveness is closed. No, there is no mercy and forgiveness for those who die as disbelievers. We have prepared for such people a painful punishment. Here are the words of Allah. أُولَٰئِكَ أَعْتَدْنَا لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. Allahu Akbar. I have prepared for you such so much torture and so much punishment in the world. When I gave you life, I gave you wealth, I gave you comfort, I gave you wife, I gave you children, I gave you home, I gave you business, I gave you work, you had a profession, you had cars, everything I supplied you. Food 3 times a day I put on your table for you, your wife and children. I gave you life, I had your life batteries charged every day. I gave you rest, I gave you sleep. You enjoyed your holidays, you enjoyed your rest periods. Did you think of me? Whole life you had to think of me, to realize me, to worship me, to bow to me, to prostrate to me, to do what I commanded you to do. Did you ever find time for all that? Or was it only your love for dunya, and your love for the things of the dunya, and the pleasures of the dunya, and the comforts of... Your whole life you worked only for dunya, 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 and yourself, your nafs. Now that you see Malak al-Maut and you realize the truth, now you say, Allah, forgive me now. Now when the ruh is about to be taken away. Oh no, oh man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majid, honestly, brothers and sisters, Allah is painting us and telling us the true picture of what happens at the moment of death. Where will you find a religion like this? Allah is telling us, look, oh man, oh woman, this is what's going to happen to you. This is coming to each and every one of us. Words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Undoubtedly, there's no doubt about it. This is the word of Allah, and I'm giving you the translation. Forgiveness is not for those who continue to commit evil acts, and then when death presents itself before any of them, and when they see the angels of death descending upon them, they say, oh Allah, I repent now. No, nor is there mercy and forgiveness for those. Nor is there mercy and forgiveness for those who die as disbelievers. Oh, remember what I said 2 lessons back? I said, you think you are Muslim and you are a believer. When Malak al-Maut comes there, you will realize whether you are a believer or a disbeliever. Muslim, oh Muslim, do not think that by reciting La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are Muslim. That is only a commitment that you are saying. And what if you do not commit yourself to La ilaha illallah Muhammad? Those are words. Quran and Sunnah. Obedience to Allah and obedience to Rasulullah and obedience to Sharia. Obedience to the beliefs of Islam. Obedience to the practices of Islam. That is what Kalima means. If that is not there, if your Kalima is only a theory, what's the difference between you and a kafir and a mushrik? What's the difference? If you're a non-practicing, ideological, idealistic Muslim, only a Muslim in theory, walking around dressed like a Muslim, that's all. There's no iman in the heart and no a'mal coming and emerging in practice. When Malak al-Maut comes along, you'll realize your position. You will realize whether you're a believer or a non-believer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh man, there is no mercy, there is no forgiveness for those who die as disbelievers. And Allah warns, أُولَٰئِكَ أَعْتَدْنَا. Oh no, oh man, oh no, oh, and know well, that I have prepared for such people a painful punishment. Azaban Alima, Surah Nisa, 4th Surah of the Quran, which is ayat number 18. The angel of death, Malak al-Maut, and his forces present themselves to the dying person. And when they do so, the true believer has no problem and no fear. Again, the mu'min, the Muslim, no fear. No fear for them. No fright at all. No fear at all. Assured that the mercy and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for him, since he has been an obedient and contented slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the sinner and the transgressor is filled with anxiety, with guilt, and with remorse, and seeks repentance at the delicate and ending stage of life when death stares him in the face. Death looks at him in the world. Well, Malak al-Maut, the angel of death, looks at him. And as he looks at him, in the eyes of Malak al-Maut, he sees death. He sees his end. Allahu Akbar, that is very, very fearful. Unsure as to the procedure that the angel shall adopt, he waits. At first, when he sees Malak al-Maut, he waits. What's going to happen now? He waits. But when the soul reaches the throat and the final gurgles of death sound, he immediately says, Inni tubtul an. Some of the munafiqeen and mushrikeen, this is how they are. Some of the kafirin are like this. They wait. What is this? What is this angel going to do with me? So slowly, as the ruh is being removed, when it reaches here and he knows now from the mouth or from the nose, the exit points for the ruh are the nose or the mouth. When it reaches the nose or the mouth, now he knows it's going to just slip out. The ruh is going to slip out. I immediately say, Inni tub. That is why the person says, Al-an. Allah, this moment. Allah, forgive me this moment. So they actually wait until the tip. The tippy susabin say, until that last second, last split second, then they ask forgiveness. He won't ask when the ruh is being removed from inside, not then. As the ruh comes out and come, he waits, relaxes. What's going to happen? But the moment it reaches the mouth, then he says, whoa. Or the nose, and he says, whoa, Allah forgive me now. Quickly he seeks his forgiveness. Allahu Akbar. An unbeliever is a sordid person. But when the soul reaches the throat and the final gurgle sound, you know, in the throat, the final gurgling sound, they say, people that have sat near people who are dying have told me they hear that sound. They actually hear from the throat the last sound. As the soul comes and from the throat it goes up into the mouth or the nose, they actually hear a gurgling, very fearful sound they hear. I've heard people who have sat there who have told me this. So when this gurgling final sound comes, he seeks quickly, Allah, forgive me now. Repentance and shows sorrow for all his evil and sinful deeds of transgression and violation. But it is too late, for the moment of forgiveness has ended. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Oh man, we have prepared for you such people a painful punishment. That is the decreed fate of the sinners and disbelievers. And it is a sad, shameful and bitter end. Next ayat coming up is the following. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Kullu nafsin za'iqatul maut, wa nabluukum bisharri wal khayri fitna, wa ilayna turja'oon. Every soul, says Allah, shall taste of death. Before death, we test you well with favorable and unfavorable conditions to test if you are obedient or you are rebellious, obedient or disobedient. And eventually you will return to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're addressing the Muslimin. All of mankind, but particularly us, the Muslimin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Anbiya, Surah number 21, ayat number 35, No, O Muslimin, O mankind, Kullu nafsin za'iqatul maut. Every human being, every soul shall taste of maut, of death. But remember, وَنَبَلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. Good circumstances, trying circumstances. I will test you. I will try you in this dunya. Remember, as long as you have life, sometime you will have good times, sometime you will have bad times, sometime you will be up, sometime down, sometime you will have money, sometime you will have no money, sometime your stomach will be full, sometime your stomach is going to be hungry, sometime you will have available to buy, sometime you will not be able to buy, sometime you will be able to eat, sometime you will not be able to eat, sometime you will be able to clothe yourself in good clothing, sparkling clothing, sometimes you can't even make your left dress in old clothing, sometime you will be employed, sometime you will be unemployed, sometime you will be healthy, sometime you will be sick. I will test you, I will try you. The world is a life full of trials and tests. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, before that we will test you well with favorable and unfavorable conditions and circumstances to test. I will test you whether you're going to obey me when I'm testing you, or you're going to disobey me, says Allah. But eventually, وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Know, O Muslimin, know that eventually you are going to return to us. Oh, death, you think death is your end? Like some people believe, death, khalas, finish, end. There's no life after death. Is it? Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. You going to come back to me. You come from me and you're going to come back to me. How are you going to come back? As a dead body? No, you're never going to go to Allah as a dead body. You're going to go back as a living body. Oh, you will be resurrected. Oh, life will be put back into you. When you stand in front of Allah, you'll be very much alive. Very much alive. Accountability, judgment, reckoning. Oh, you're going to be very much alive. Do not think, do not live in a dream world where you think death is the end. No, death is the beginning. It is the doorway to life. That is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each and every human being is thoroughly tested in this dunya, in this worldly life by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Receive, he or she lives up to the expected devotions of true belief and deeds in conformity to the teachings and practices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Destined for their guidance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Falsifications, fabrications, and distortions to their religions. The kuffar and mushrikeen, what did they do? There is only one. Inna deena indallahi al-Islam. There is only one religion, and that is Islam. But what did the others do? The other religions do. They falsified the truth of the preaching of their messengers, of the Nabis and Rasul. They falsified it. They fabricated it. They distorted it to their religion. Has been the outcome of all the major religions prior to Islam. But the emergence of Islam set the seal on these corruptions by men. Thus, the only religion acceptable is Islam for the whole of mankind now. And all of mankind is tested on this basic premise. They are tested with hunger in the life of this world, with thirst, with poverty, with disease, or with wealth, possessions, power, and influence. Men have been given the freedom to choose their lifestyle. But they must be aware that at the end, they shall have to face death and their maker and their creator. If they prefer to be short-sighted and sinful, that will be their undoing. If they choose to be true believers and obedient slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then pardon, forgiveness, and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be their lot. If you are a true slave of Allah, Allah will look after you. Oh, and even Malak al-Maut, all the angels will look after you. But if you are disobedient and disbelieving, no, this is the story of death. Next ayat coming up is the following. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majeed, مَا يَلْفِزُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدٌ. Very frightful ayat of the Quran this is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a person utters not a word, but there is a watching angel ready to record every deed. There is an angel actually two kiraman katibin, two angels, one on the right, one on the left, one on the right side of the shoulder, one on the left side of the shoulder. What are they doing? Here it is, a person utters not a word, not a syllable. A person utters not a word, but there is a watcher, a recording angel, ready to record every deed, every word, every act. Then says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ. And the agony and pangs of death shall bring out the truth of how you lived in the world. Allah. There's a definition of death. What is death? It will bring out the truth of how you lived your life in the dunya. Did I not say earlier, when you see Malak al-Maut, your whole life is in front of you, your whole life opens up in that split second, your whole life, from the time you were baligh to the time of your death, from the time you got your senses, you became mature to the time of your death, your whole life, you see it as a picture in front of you, very, very clearly. Every part of your life you see. And you are either proud, or you are ashamed. Here it is. And the agony of death shall bring out the truth of the way you lived your life in this world. And you know what you will be told? Here it is. ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدٌ. This death is what you were evading or you were avoiding. Allahu Akbar. Everybody will be told this. This death has come. The death, the Muslim, what will he say? No, no, don't worry, Malak al-Maut. I'm ready. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go to my Maker and Creator. I love Allah. My whole life I lived for the sake of Allah, in the service of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah, for the sake of Allah. Malak al-Maut, I'm ready to go. I'm all prepared. I'm ready. Allahu Akbar. And the one who is told, Malak al-Maut will tell him, the angels who come with him will tell him, this is the maut you were trying to avoid. But I'm here now. I've come to take you away. I've come to take your soul away. Look how beautifully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why I say it is a very frightful ayat. We don't want to be told that we were trying to avoid death. But every person, Muslim and non-Muslim, that has forgotten death, that doesn't want to talk about death, that doesn't want to prepare for death, that doesn't want to think about death, be careful, O Muslim. When that death comes, which is unavoidable, don't be in a state of shock, amazement and astonishment. We must all live in expectation of our death, because we don't know when it will come, and we must be prepared for death. Otherwise, when that angel tells you, this is the death you are trying to avoid, you know what will happen? What a condition will be? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma yalfizu min qawlin illa ladayhi raqibun atid. O Muslim, know there are angels that are recording. Do not think that in the darkness of the night, or under cover, or in a closed building, in the privacy of home, or hotel, or restaurant, or somewhere, you can be doing anything in the dark, under the mattress, or under the bed, or in some cavern, or in some cave, or hidden away completely from somewhere. You can do anything that is not being watched and recorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That angel, oh, Allahu Akbar, that angel goes everywhere with you. That angel watches you. That angel records everything. Every word, every deed, every act is recorded, written there. Allahu Akbar. So know this. No, a person utters not a word, but there is a watcher ready to record every deed. And the agony of death shall bring out the truths of how you lived in this dunya. And you will be told, this death is what you are avoiding. Surah Kahf. 50th surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 18 and ayat number 19. Two recording angels appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over every human being whose sole duty is to record every act, every word, every deed of each and every human being. The good and the bad. They record the good and the bad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِزِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. And verily over you, and verily over you, O human being, are appointed angels to watch you, that they are honorable recorders, angels writing down your every deed. They know all that you do. Surah Infitar, Surah number 82, verses number 10, 11 and 12. They are masters of their craft. These recording angels, kiraman katabin, they are masters of their profession, of their craft. And they never miss a single act, a single word, a single deed of any person. When the agony of death called sakaratul maut reaches a high, when the soul reaches the throat, as it is about to be drawn out of the nose or the mouth, and moments before the person dies, all the veils that have prevented the person from seeing the other side of life, the other side of this world, the side that lies beyond the material dimension of this dunya, of this world, that is removed. The veil is removed, and he or she sees Malak al-Maut and his assistants and his assistant angels converging and surrounding the dying person. The dying person sees. The veil is taken out from the eyes. The veil that made the other side of life invisible, that made death and the other side of death invisible, the dying person, moments before the death, the angels remove it. They take away the veils. And you see sharp focus. Malak al-Maut, the group of Malak al-Mauts, and what is awaiting beyond death. The impact of these final moments of life can be good or bad, depending entirely on the faith, the iman, the belief and the actions of the person concerned. He will either see something beautiful or see something ugly and very, very frightful. It is a horrifying and terribly frightening moment for the dying person if he has been an unbeliever, if she has been an unbeliever or a sinful and an evil person. In those dying and agonizing moments, the person comes to know whether he or she has been an obedient slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a true and faithful follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a dedicated and practicing Muslim and mu'min, or conversely, he or she will know by the removal of the veils from the eyes if they have rejected obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they have been disobedient to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Islam is the faith and religion of all of mankind, and it is the only code of life acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In those moments of agony, pain and panic, with unavoidable death looming, the victim is totally helpless, and every form of protection and security that had been available at a price in the world will be of no avail at the time of Sakaratul Maut. The sinner and wrongdoer who was rebellious and materialistically minded, in other words, only greedy for dunya, only a time for dunya, who shunned true belief, piety and purity, who was neglectful, proud and selfish, who enjoyed a private life of pleasure, entertainment and joy, indulging in all kinds of haram things, haram activities, such people, male or female, will be stunned and shocked. The agony will become unbearable and intense. Imagine in dying moments to have to go through that. Thoughts of deeds being unrecorded. When he was told this kiraman katibin, you know what jokes they used to make? They used to say, I look to my right, there's no angels here. What are you talking about? What is the Maulana talking about? What is the Sheikh talking about? Where's the angels? He says that angel. Where's the pen that do? Where's the paper? Where's the computer? Where's the laptop? They make a mockery. All that words will be recorded in those dying moments. the mockery, the jokes, the fun they used to make of Islamic belief. Allahu Akbar. Thoughts of deeds being unrecorded and the past being obliterated. Yes, they used to say, what is past is forbay. What is past is gone. How can it be recorded? How can it be recorded? Where is it recorded? Give me one proof of any person that is recorded. You know what I used to hear, they tell me, how many millions of pages, Maulana? How many millions of pages are these Malaikas going to write? That was 40, 50 years ago. Today, on a pinhead size, you can record a million, 10 million, a billion pieces of information on a pinprick. Where are those people who used to laugh then? And there are still people who believe, how can all my deeds and action? They ask me, Maulana, every minute act, every deed, subhanallah, what are you talking about? Will they record everything? Oh, when Malakul Maut appears and the veils are taken away, they will then know. Or they will see their book of deeds. You know what happens when the person about dying? The angels bring, Malakul Maut and his angels bring, and they tie it around the neck. Your book of deeds with which you will be raised on the day of judgment is tied around the neck of each dying person. Thoughts of deeds being unrecorded and the past being obliterated will assail him as he or she sees the angels of death all around, crowding around him or her, the dying person, waiting for the soul to be drawn out by the angel of death, Malakul Maut. These are moments of panic. These are moments of shock. These are moments of agony and also of deep regret and shame. Why did I disobey Allah? Why did I turn away from Rasulullah ﷺ? Why did I disbelieve? Why did I commit sin? Why was I an evil person? Imagine what a trauma it is in the dying moments in Sakaratul Maut for those thoughts to be going through the mind. Allah forgive me. Allah forgive me now. His heedlessness, her heedlessness will be found to have been offensive and disreputable. Why did I do it? The eyes will roll in their sockets. The face will register shock and dismay. The body will cringe in fear. I've heard from people who have sat next to dying people. They say the whole body, they say the dying person, that, you know, when they give ghusl, they say the toes and the fingers have cringed out of fear. The whole body has gone pinned up completely. Cringing fear when they see Malakul Maut. They say it is so hard to release the fingers. They've died in that position. The eyes, they say, this also I have heard, and we will hear about this in the Ahadith also. They say the fear in the eyes is registered in such a way that they don't want the family to see the mayyat. So they cover the eyes up. They say the face and the eyes, the fear that that person, dying person, it registered on the face and so on, that they immediately take a sheet or blanket and they cover the dead body of the deceased. That is the shock that the person receives as a result of the last moments of panic and death. Here in the Quran, Allah is telling, the agony of death will be torturous. The eyes will roll in the sockets. The eyes will be rolling. Face will register shock and dismay. The eyes will be drawn in out of fear and shock. The body will cringe in fear. And shock waves will go through the dying person's body. The agony will be absolute torture. We've got a few minutes. Let's complete another ayat of the Quran Majeed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majeed, وَجَاءَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَعَهَا سَائِقٌ وَشَهِيدٌ لَكَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ حَازَا فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ وَقَالَ قَرِينُهُ هَذَا مَا لَدَيَّ عَطِيدٌ. Another very, very fearful, frightful, shocking ayat of the Quran Majeed. Quran is haq, kalamullah, word of Allah. Listen to the translation. Every soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and every soul shall come forth with an angel, a driver. Allah uses the word for that angel, a driver. And in a car, when we sit down, somebody drives, this angel will be the driver. You see, when it comes to death, the angels take over. They drive your body. And every soul shall come forth with a driver angel and a witness angel, two angels. One to drive you, one to be the witness over you. He will be told, you were certainly heedless of this day. My man, they will tell you, these two angels, my man, you had every opportunity. You lived for 20 years, 40 years, 60 years, 80 years, 100 years. You lived in this world. And you were totally ignorant and heedless. Imagine this conversation is going on to the dying person who is now helpless. He or she can do nothing. Here it is. They will be told, let me give you the Arabic. لَكَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا. You are in total ghafla. What is ghafla? Heedlessness, carelessness. You didn't care about, you didn't prepare for your death. Salah times, you were not available. Giving zakat, ah, never mind, I will pay it later. Who's going to watch me? Who's going to worry with me? Which police is going to arrest me? Nobody's going to imprison me. Nothing's going to happen to me. Ah, don't you know death is coming? Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, two angels you will have with you. One will be driving you. The other one will be watching you. And you will be told, what will these two angels tell you? Here it is, they will tell you, you were very certainly, you were heedless of this day. You thought this day is, oh, you thought that I'm just going to die. Nothing will happen. I'm just going to simply, and my ruh will go out. That's all. You really think that is what death is? Nothing happens at that moment of death? No experience? No conversation? No talking? No seeing? No hearing? Oh, don't dream. There's a lot of talk going on. A lot of talking. He will be told, what will they say? The driving angel and the witness angel will say, you were certainly heedless of this day. Now we have removed your veils from you and from your eyes, from your vision. And your vision, your eyes is so sharp today. Here we learn something from the Quran Majeed. That the eyes of the dying person are sharper than the eyes in the dunya. Ah, the blind person, you will say? The blind person will also be able to see. See what? Not the dunya, the akhirah. He will see Malak al-Maut. Oh, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is it? Allah has given us eyes. To a blind person, yes, Allah will give him eyes. And how will the eyes be? Here is فَكَشَفْنَا أَنْكَ غِتَاءَكَ. And then says Allah, I will remove the veils from your eyes. فَبَسَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. And you will see sharp. Oh, you will be sharp-sighted. Oh, your sight will be sharper than that of a telescope. And you will see far. You will see right through into Akhirah. Right through Malak al-Maut. Right through whether you're going to Jannah or Jahannam. How far is Jannah or Jahannam? Oh, you will see. You will see the roaring fires of hells that are awaiting you, beckoning you, calling you, inviting you. This is where you belong. Or you will see the gardens of paradise and the palaces of paradise and the delights of paradise and the Hurin of paradise inviting you. Say, we are waiting for you. How we must decide. Oh Muslim, you must decide. Look into the Quran. Look at Surah Kahf, 50th Surah of the Quran Majeed. Study ayat number 21 and 23. As a matter of fact, read the whole of Surah Kahf. Read the whole of Surah Kahf, not Surah Kahf. Surah Kahf is the 18th Surah of the Quran Majeed. Surah Kahf is the 50th Surah of the Quran Majeed. The whole of Surah Kahf, 50th Surah of the Quran Majeed, deals with the subject of death and Akhirah. Here it is. This is what those two angels will tell you. You were certainly heedless of this day. Now we have removed your veils from you, and your vision is very sharp today. And his companion angel, the driving angel, will say this. Hey, take the veils away. You are seeing very, very sharp today. What will the witness angel say? And his companion, the witness angel, will say, وقال وقال قرينه هذا ما لدي عتيد. This is what I have ready for you. Here's your book of deeds. The angels, the watcher, the recorder will say, here's your book of deeds. I'm closing your book now. You're going to die. Here's your book. Have a look at it. And you know something? The sharpness of the vision of the eyes that Allah will bestow to a dying person, it will be so sharp he will read his whole book in that split second. In that split second, he will read his whole book. The book is what? How many pages? A million pages? No. The focus, this is the power of Allah. The knowledge of what is contained in his book of deeds will be transparent in front of him. And with one look, he knows, looking through his book, there is Jannah and there is Jahannam. And he will see whether he's been a good, pious, true believing man, obedient, submissive to Allah and the Rasul of Allah, or he has been a naughty, mischievous, sinful, wicked, impious, evil human being. He will know it immediately. Or he'll read his record. In a split second he will know. It will glimmer and shine in front of him. He will see it. Muslimin, these are the words of the Quran. The angels shall be placed in charge of each person about to die. Men cannot place their friends or accomplices in charge of their deaths. There's no wali of Allah. There's no sheikh. There's no karamat. There is no miracle. There is no saint. There is no friend. There is nobody to help you. On that day, you are all alone. The removal of the veils that prevented men from seeing the angels in their lifetime shall be removed, and sight, and the sighted person will be blessed with sharp vision. Allahu Akbar. And the removal of the veils of the angel by the angels of death is a shocking and a very disturbing one. Even a blind and a poor sighted person will be blessed with sharp vision after the veils have been removed from his eyes. All the material and tangible assets and comforts of the earthly life become trivial and meaningless as the life of this visible and temporal world come to an end. The eyes of the hereafter are very sharp, and they focus sharply and very clearly on the angels of death and the aftermath of life. All illusory and imaginary concepts and visualizations will be removed as the meaninglessness and insignificance of this worldly life is about to be terminated. That at that moment, each one, the dying person, realizes this dunya was nothing. Meaningless. The wing of a fly, of a gnat. Nothing, it meant nothing at all whatsoever. At that moment you will realize the eyes of death, the eyes of the hereafter are very sharp, and they focus sharply and very clearly on the angels of death and the aftermath of life, of what is going to follow after death. All illusory and imaginary concepts and world and visualizations will be removed as the meaninglessness and insignificance of the worldly life is about to be terminated. All the effort and sacrifice on the material gathering and accumulating instincts of the greedy person to the detriment of a meaningful and spiritually excellent, pious and virtuous life for the eternal life of the hereafter will be unveiled and expanded. fanciful notions and ideas about a wonderful life in the hereafter, promised by the nafs, desires of the person, and instigated by shaitan, all the promises that shaitan made during the lifetime of a person, which led him towards sin and transgression and evil, will be shattered as disillusionment settles in. It becomes clear as daylight to the dying person that the akhirah, that the hereafter, is the real and everlasting home of the human being to have aspired to for the whole of one's life, and that this world was but an intermediary and trial stage and a test of one's iman and amal. The sinner and transgressor sees the whole of his or her life in a single encapsulated moment, and is either filled with awe and fear of the wrath of Allah, and the pious and Allah fearing true believer with hope and expectation of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakumullahu akhir da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.